Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080TheFan, or youtube.tv/1080AM TheFan. Party on, party people. I got a college football note for you here. I got some college football musings for us today. Yesterday and earlier this week, we've been talking a lot about Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah. So I went through and I was talking about the quarterbacks that he has more yards than. Passing, like air yards, passing. Ashton Jeanty on the ground through 4 weeks has more rushing yards than them. Today I went through team rushing totals in college football. Boise State ranks fifth nationally in rushing. He has 846 yards. Boise State has 1,210 yards rushing.
Good Lord.
They're on the ball very effectively, and it's not just him.
Those are Academy-esque numbers.
There's only one Academy ahead of him.
Goodness.
And it's Army.
That's so many
yards. Telling you, Navy throws the ball this year.
No, I'm just saying, like when you stack up that many rushing yards in that few games, like those are the only teams that do that.
Okay. Well, there I went and I looked up the team numbers. There are 90 teams in college football that have fewer rushing yards than Ashton Jeanty. 90.
Wow. He's averaging 11 yards a carry, so that tracks.
Including teams like Missouri.
Which is ranked, what, seventh in the country right now?
Georgia Tech.
Which is a team that was at one point known for running the option.
Arizona State. Pitt.
Which runs
Kentucky.
The Scatabo offense.
Maryland. Baylor, Nebraska, Clemson.
Goodness gracious. Like, those aren't like this.
He has 140 more yards than Air Force.
Like, you're not rattling off like MAC teams that are throwing the ball 70 times a game. Like, those are like balanced offense type teams.
He has rushed for almost 200 more yards than Michigan State this year. as a team.
And it's not like Chiles is throwing 40 times a game. It's not like Dylan Raiola is throwing out there 38 times a game.
Well, let me further this a little bit. Boise State has only played in four games this year.
All those other teams have played five.
There are only 43 teams that have rushed for more yards than Ashton Gentry this year. Mm-hmm. Teams, not people, teams. 29 of those 43 have played five games. 29 of the 43 teams ahead of Ashton Gentry in rushing yards have played an extra game over him. And, oh, by the way, most of those 90 that are behind him have also played in five games, and he's only played in four. It's crazy what he's doing.
In case you're wondering, Gentry has skyrocketed in the Heisman odds.
He should.
He is now third or fourth, depending on which book you're looking at.
Right now, it should be Travis Hunter number one, Ashton Gentry number two, and a chasm
and then all the
between those two and anybody, anybody else. But Jalen Milroe is going to get a bump.
Milroe is still leading across all books. Milroe's number one,
yeah.
Hunter two, Cam Ward three, Gentry four.
And that is the stupidest thing about the people that vote for the Heisman Trophy. Jalen Milroe is not the best player in college football.
No, God, no. He's not even the best player on his own team.
He's not the best quarterback in college football. The Heisman Trophy should not go to the best quarterback on the best team. And for far too long, that's what they've been doing.
Yes.
Or they'll go best player on the best team. No. That's not what this award should be. It's not what it, even in the description of it, it's the most outstanding player in college football.
Can you give it to Travis Hunter if they only win two more games?
Yes. If he does, if he keeps doing what he's doing right now, absolutely. If they win two more games, yeah, you still can, because he's the most outstanding player in college football. Mm-hmm. Like, it is. If he gets hurt, that's a different story.
Sure.
Because then it's like, well, that's why you can't play. But if he goes through and plays over 120 snaps in every single game this year,
and keeps doing what he's doing as a wide receiver, goodness gracious.
Nobody can do that.
No.
Nobody can do that. And the productivity he has on both sides of the ball has been absolutely eye-popping.
What was it took him
stunning.
Out last year? Was a ruptured spleen on the cheap hit?
Yeah. Yeah, something like, it wasn't ruptured. It was like a last, I think it was
lacerated.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
other than that, like, if had it not been for that, he was on pace to keep on going.
Yeah, and he did slow down at the end of the year when they weren't as good.
And I'm sure they probably started to protect him at the end of the year.
And
that's what you do.
They really should, but he's incredible. No matter what you think of Colorado, Travis Hunter is incredible.
Or even Travis Hunter, he's, you know.
And then Ashton Gentry is equally as good.
Yeah.
He is equally as good when you look at what he is doing to every team that he plays. If he keeps this up, my goodness, it's incredible. But here's the thing. This is where, you know, running backs or you did the two-way player or a receiver fall out of favor in this. And when I say a receiver, I mean like the best receiver in college football, not the best receiver on the best team. They will get dinged up.
Yep.
They'll miss a game. And then, unlike the best player on the best team, well, they kept on winning.
Or the quarterback.
A down game, and it's like, dead to me. Quarterbacks will have a bad game, and for whatever reason,
But the team wins.
Yeah, but the team wins.
It's a win. Like, the quarterback wins that. It's always one thing. But
so stupid.
Gentry's really one of those interesting ones, because he's not. It's not gimmicky. This isn't Justin Blackmon at Oklahoma State, where he's just being force-fed for numbers. Like, Gentry is running between the by that, I don't mean to say Blackmon was bad. I mean that his reception count is so absurd because he's catching everything. It's, you know, behind the line of scrimmage type stuff where they're like just getting him the ball endlessly. Gentry is, it's not gimmicky. He's running between the tackles.
Yeah.
He's patiently waiting and then breaking. Like, you watched him against, you know, against Oregon and then against Washington State. He's sitting there, delay, burst, break through, and it's an 18-yarder. Burst, break through, it's an 80-yarder. How far was the big play against Oregon?
70.
You know, one play, boom, gone. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just those, though. He's also the between-the-tackle guy who gets you four, who gets you five. But the thing is, he's averaging, again, 11 yards a carry, and this isn't a guy who's getting, like, four or five touches a game. This is a guy who's getting 20-plus touches a game.
Yeah, if he leads the country in all-purpose yards at the end of the year, which he does right now,
yeah,
he, without, and all-purpose yards are rushing, receiving, punt, and kick return yards. Mm-hmm. He doesn't return kicks.
No.
So you think of how many yards guys get on kickoff returns. That's a big number. If he leads the country in all-purpose yards, then you got to sit there and go, I don't care where he plays.
Yeah.
He is on pace right now. Okay. Rushing yards, he's on pace for 2,535.
Which is still less than Barry's, right?
Barry's record is 2,628.
Yeah. Which is insane. Like, Ashton Jeanty, what he is doing right now, we have not seen anybody and do in 40 years. And he's still not on pace for what Barry Sanders did at Oklahoma State.
Well, if he would have played a full game against Portland State.
Hey, you know what? You're right. Because he came out at half, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rushing touchdowns, 39. Barry Sanders' record in 88 was 37. Yards after contact. He's on pace for 1,761.
Which is more than, you know, anybody else is probably on.
Jonathan Taylor has the record for yards after contact in 2017.
I'm going to say 1,500.
No, 1,355. Forced missed tackles. Bijan Robinson has the record in 2022 at 104. Jeanty is on pace for 132.
He's on pace for arguably the best rushing running back season in college football history.
All time. All time. What he's doing is mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Mind-boggling, really.
And he does it in all facets, and it's super fun because it's not a gimmicky offense. It's not it's not screens everywhere. It's running by doing the tackles, and with a traditional style, he's a little bit more upright. You know, now upright is, I think, optional when you're talking about a guy who's like 5'8", but he's very fun to watch, not just when he breaks big plays, but every time he touches the ball. It's not the level of pure terror that you got with Reggie Bush every time he touched the ball. I think I liken it more to a hybrid of like Maurice Jones-Drew / Christian McCaffrey,
mm-hmm.
where you know he can break one, but it's not because he's getting to the edge and just faster than everybody else. It's that 1, 2, 3 blown tackles, and then, oh no, there he goes, and he gets to show you the speed.
We are off tomorrow. We will have Isaac and Suk in here from noon to 2 before Ducks pregame, because the Oregon Ducks host Michigan State tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Hey, at least it's not at 8 o'clock.
And this was a surprising update from Eugene. Danny Dusty on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Surprising update from Dan Lanning earlier this week on the status of Terrence Ferguson, tight end. He took a scary shot against UCLA on Saturday night. I don't even know how many people were awake to see that. It was like midway through the second quarter. But he took a very scary shot. He was down on the ground.
He dropped like a rock.
And he did not. I mean, it looked like everybody was just thinking, oh my gosh, he's just getting knocked out. Shoulder right to the helmet and just went boom.
Not to derail, because I want to keep it on this thing, but his injury and Malik Nabers both seemed to have kind of like gone underseen or under talked about, as far as like guys that both like very clearly got knocked out.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I don't, yeah.
Everybody just kind of was like, ah, and it wasn't, not in a bad way, but it was like, I don't know why neither one just got a ton of traction.
Well, Nabers is not practicing.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Dan Lanning after the game immediately. And I will say this about Terrence Ferguson is that he went down, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. like, what? Uh-oh. Immediately after the game, Lanning said it was precautionary. Comes out on Monday and says he's tracking like he's going to play.
Mm.
And you're just going,
okay.
What is going on?
Because he practiced Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That just seemed quick.
And, yeah. And he's been going through everything, probably without contact or whatever. But what was different with his, like usually when a guy has a head injury, obviously you're going to go off the field, pads are off, you're done for the day. You rarely see them come back out,
mm-hmm.
especially in, you know, when you have day game where it's really bright,
yep.
or night game where the lights are really bright. You. He was down there. He was in street clothes the entire second half, and he was talking to guys all over the field.
Yeah, I remember when Jeremy
Grant. They showed him on TV, but like if you have a concussion and you're like diagnosed with a concussion, they because of the light sensitivity, they'll say, "Nah, you just stay in the locker room."
Put you in the under cove in a dark room. I mean, Jeremy Grant Lindley didn't come into Moda for like 2 weeks. Like it was bad when he had it.
Yeah, or you'll Mike Leach it and put him in a shed. Yeah. But too soon?
Was that why he put him in the shed?
It was.
Was it?
Yeah, no, it legitimately was. He said he had light sensitivity due to concussion, so he said, well, then go get in that shed. And they said that he was Craig James' kid.
Yeah, I thought
they
he was said complaining
that he forced him. They said he forced him into the shed to go into the shed.
I mean, a shed at Texas Tech is probably going to be pretty warm.
Oh, I imagine it's real hot. Yeah. It's like
sauna.
Prison punishment. Yeah. The hot box.
Yeah, it was straight up out of Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah. Anyways, so it was unique to kind of see, because any guy that gets dinged up like that, they usually don't bring him back out of the locker room. So that was surprising, and it's obviously a good sign and a big note that I was shocked to see this week that Terrence Ferguson would be available for Oregon. And Malik Nabers, as you said, nobody's really talking about it, but he wasn't part of practice yesterday either for the Giants. His was a little bit more serious though, and they put him in the concussion protocol, which, you know, everything with Terrence Ferguson just kind of leads you to believe it wasn't a concussion. You know?
Maybe
you'd be the protocol is like you're out for
at least a week, yeah,
at a bare minimum, because there are certain benchmarks that you need to meet.
Yeah, Nabers is out against the Seahawks, mm-hmm. and he's still in concussion protocol. Like he hasn't even started like hitting the benchmarks.
Yeah, and they don't mess around with this anymore, man.
Well, especially like with Nabers, I mean, you saw him go out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still so weird to me that the way that happened, the way it was covered, is nobody acknowledged it during the game until like 10 minutes later because Micah Parsons rolled an ankle. Yeah. And every news broker was too busy talking about Micah Parsons leaving the field with his shoe off, as opposed to the guy who hit his head on the ground so hard you saw his eyes roll in the back of his face and his body go limp.
Well, what did they need to talk about? Oh. They knew what happened. You know?
It was just like, that man is unconscious on the ground right now, guys.
Yeah, scary situation here.
Meanwhile, Micah Parsons leaving with his shoe off.
Yeah, we don't know what that is. We know what this is. Don't know what that is. But he doesn't have a shoe on.
It was such a weird thing. The contrast was super weird.
That's football, man.
Yeah, it threw me for a loop. I was like, is nobody going to acknowledge the guy who's literally unconscious in the field right now?
Yeah.
As opposed to the guy who, oh, he rolled his ankle?
Yeah. Oregon's got Michigan State. That's a weird tune-up in, like, introduction into tune-up. It's a weird introduction into Big Ten play at home.
It's a tune-up for Ohio State.
At, like, being on a Friday night is your first Big Ten home game, and it's against Michigan State, which you have so much familiarity with.
Yeah.
Because you played them in the regular season, you played them in quite possibly top five worst bowl game of all time. You guys remember the Red Box Bowl?
Oh, God.
Remember that? Yeah,
Why did you just unlock that core memory?
Oh, yeah, Red Box Bowl.
Shout out Red Box.
Are they still around?
Anywhere? They are around.
I haven't.
They're just not
still
that,
around.
There's not that many of them.
They're not in front of the Safeways anymore.
Or the 7-Elevens, yeah. Like, no, they're more rural now because people out in the sticks have DVD players.
Yeah. All right. So. Ooh.
It's not there in front of the Safeway anymore?
I haven't noticed it. Right. It might be. Well, he's saying the Safeway. We live near each other.
Yeah. I knew what you guys were
We're not just
with.
Talking about a just Safeway. Random no. Safeway anywhere.
No, it's the Safeway they both go shopping at.
But that is a weird one. And Oregon State's got a weird one, too, this week. Colorado State.
Yeah.
That having a home game, and this is where you sit there. If you are a Beav fan, 3-1, coming out of a bye, you get a team that has been licking their wounds at 2-2 in Colorado State.
And they're supposed to be a better team with Fowler Morosi coming back, and they use what they had of their NIL to keep the guys that were really impactful last year, particularly against Colorado. But yeah, they've been underwhelming to say the least, and then obviously Colorado laid it on them.
Yeah, they're just not very good.
Whatever juice they had last year, the coach there was a big profile on him, recruiting all over the world, kind of going Mark Few.
What's his name?
God dang it! But yeah, a lot of
Jay Norvell.
There you go.
Mike.
Yes, he like a lot of that. That magic that they had last year, because they were a plucky little team. Like, you didn't want to play them, but a lot of that is gone now.
Yep.
It just feels like whatever magic sauce that they had kind of cooking up.
Well, again, the crap kicked out of you to start this season, 52-0 by Texas. Doesn't help.
And then Colorado dog walked them.
Yeah,
that was not a
competitive.
Did you see Shador talking to Fowler Morosi after the game? Because apparently Colorado...
Well, not talking to him?
Well, yeah, they gave him you want to talk all that crap all game? No, we ain't talking or all week, and we ain't talking now.
Yeah, come on. Whatever.
He hit him with the flash the rolling thing.
That is the stupidest celebration.
It is up there.
Ever.
Do you coach high school? When you guys do pictures, do you guys let those guys...
No.
Okay. Thank you. No. Thank you. Because I saw some teams that went viral for like letting their kids like wear ski masks and... Watches.
Yeah, you can't even, like,
you can't
wear those in games anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you used to be able to wear, like, the head cover. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
There used to be idiots wearing hooded sweatshirts playing football.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Why is that?
Dumb.
Why is that?
Really dumb.
I mean, it's still in college, but it's...
So stupid.
Why are you wearing
two mouthpieces?
Yeah, the bling is your rubber hanging off the face mask? It frustrates. Zach Branch wears one, and it drives me crazy.
It's the dumbest
thing.
Drives me
crazy. Like, I'm okay with a little bit of swag. You want to tape up your face mask? You want to wear a armband around your neck? I don't care. But, like, there's levels to it.
Yeah. Man, this is a pretty low level. Oh, Oregon State, though. Back to Oregon, the Beavs.
Yes.
This is the part of their schedule where, I mean...
Time to get cooking.
Well, time to get cooking, but for fans, how does it sit?
Mm.
Because it's you got Colorado State, yeah. Then you go to Nevada, Reno. And
not a lot to get excited about.
Well, the one you got to get excited about is the 19th when UNLV comes to town.
Who, even without Sluka, apparently.
Well, they're better without Sluka.
Well, it turns out pretty good.
Yeah. And
if you want to have your chance at the premier bowl game, mm-hmm. that's the game you got to win.
Yeah. Is this the rallying cry, though, for Oregon State and Oregon State fans? Because this is where, you know, we hear from Oregon State fans mm-hmm. all the time. And we hear it like, it's, no, we want to be relevant. We want to be there. We want to be the team that can be, you know, that group of five contender. But you, in order to do that, if you ever watch a Boise State game on TV, if you ever watch a Liberty game on TV or James Madison game on TV, these teams that come from the group of five, the place is packed every single week. Regardless of who they're playing, they will pack that place out. And this is going to be kind of like the test of watching from afar of, all right, how do you keep building that momentum? Because Oregon State's in a really damn good spot. They're 3-1 right now.
Yeah.
You want to talk about where you can take momentum? And your one loss is to a top 10 team in the country.
Yeah.
Right? You keep momentum and you move forward. Like,
they're
you
in the exact
keep
same
it.
Position as Boise State.
But you have to keep it through these games mm-hmm. against Colorado State and Nevada, Reno, mm-hmm. and making sure that everybody is still showing up and it's Reser Stadium is still loud yeah. and raucous.
This is what Boise State has done for 20 years.
Yes.
Is that they get their one marquee game for their out-of-conference, and they win that game, but that's not the hard part of the season. It's the other 11.
Yep.
When you've got to get up for Fresno State in a down year. Or Nevada, Reno, or Air Force. It's like those are Wyoming in November.
Yeah. I think like UNLV coming in a couple of weeks, that no doubt that place is going to be rocking.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. What is it going to be like? And this is, I mean, truly, this is like the perfect time to play a football game. They're playing 3:30 Saturday mm-hmm. in early October.
Yeah, not in a weird day, on a weird time, in a weird place. It's all normal.
Should be.
Go handle business.
Everything is like lined up for that place to be awesome. That's one thing I'm really interested to see from Oregon State coming out of this week. And then also on the injury front, where they're what they look like, especially up front, and some notable injuries as they were nursing and getting through out of that bye week. All right, man. But there's so much more college football.
No, we'll circle back. We got more college football on the dock. Yeah, right, we still got. We do need to talk Ducks, Spartans, because you will. You know,
I'll be there.
So, but coming up next, we have our worst day on the web, and wow, the Rice family. I dare say, apple tree not far. I don't know. But first, here's a big Kahuna with Sports on Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Now, we all know Rishi Rice is, he's caught in the middle of a whole lot of dumb that he himself was responsible for.
I thought you said he was getting caught in the middle of Patrick Mahomes in the turf.
Oh, that too. Unfortunately, I don't wish injury on the guy.
Nope.
It turns out his quarterback tackles like a 4-year-old.
Yeah. Well, he's done for the year. They put him on the IR officially.
He's got an ACL injury. His knee bent backwards and then they pretended like it wasn't actually shredded to bits.
Yeah, today they officially put him on the IR.
Interesting.
Yeah, they needed the results to come back.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, we need to let the swelling go down. Yeah. If his knee is the size of a watermelon, it's torn.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Danny, like, it's not conclusive yet.
I don't know.
Come back.
Like, the whole idea, I remember last week, like, oh, you know, he may be back soon. And it was like,
No.
It wasn't Willis McGahee, but his knee went backwards.
Yeah, he will not be
back. He will not be back soon. What are we doing here?
Nope.
His mother.
He's a terrible driver, too.
Also, yes, very much. Very terrible driver. Terrible.
Went to SMU, not Georgia.
Mm.
For anybody that was
going to... Did he think about going to Georgia?
No, I don't think you think about going to Georgia and end up at SMU.
I mean, it can happen. So he's
this
not
isn't
Rain
the
Man
Pony
either,
Excess era.
You know, it can happen. But his mother is now being accused of being a
porch pirate,
bandit.
Yeah.
And the accusation is not really an accusation as much as she did it.
Pretty cut and dry here.
She walks down the hallway of what appears to be an indoor apartment complex.
Condominium.
Slight. She walks by it once, and you see her, and this is like a Ring doorbell camera, on the eye hole kind of a deal. And she eyeballs the camera, eyeballs the package, like without really looking at it the first time. So, and then she kind of looks around, no big deal, keep it going. She walks by a little bit later, then going the other way, and half stops, and she kicks it with her foot where she thinks she's out of the range of the camera, and bends down and steals the package.
Yeah, you can clearly hear her like slide the package across, like it goes like sliding across the carpet, and she doesn't think it's a wide angle lens.
No,
like she thinks
which
I'm
is hilarious
being
because
so slick here.
All of these cameras are wide angle lenses. Yeah. To catch this exact behavior.
Yeah. And, you know, she's probably going to say, you can't prove that was me. Except for she's wearing a jersey that says Mama Rice on the back of it.
And you can see her face from multiple angles.
And posts on social media all the time pictures of her wearing her Mama Rice Chiefs jersey. This was a bad look for Rashee Rice's mother. And... like you said, apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I mean,
they've been committing some crimes lately.
It's just
in the Rice family.
It's I don't want to, you know, wrap it all up in the same. But I mean, it's very clear that the trying to use the correct terminology here without crossing any lines. It's
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, it is, because it's like...
because it's you?
Yeah, I know, and that's what I'm trying to be slightly more professional about this, but I mean, it's trash human beings doing trash things.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, whether it's Rice himself or his mother, and it's just... It shouldn't be surprising, but when you see this kind of thing, but it's like, yeah, okay. And I mean... Rice just got a $6 million a year contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it's further proof that money doesn't change people. It just, a lot of times it amplifies the worst qualities about
them. But that's the thing about being a porch pirate that I just don't get is you have no idea what you're taking.
No.
Like that to me is the wildest thing about it.
And
like what is it about that package being there that you're just like, nope, I want it. And it doesn't go through your mind, this is going to ruin somebody else's day?
No, and the thing is, like, the people who do it, it's not like it's just this one thing.
It's
like,
just an impulsive reaction.
It's a crime of opportunity. Now, there are those people that, like, go door to door to door and go do it. One of my favorite videos, meme videos, whatever you want to talk about, is the guy in Detroit who goes up to go take the package off the guy's yard, and the other guy walks out with his AR in his hand and like, bring my package back right now. And he brings the package back, sits down. You right, my bad. And it's like the back pedal the whole way and sprints across the street. It's an old black guy.
That would be your favorite video on the internet.
It's one of my favorites because the level of calm the old man demonstrates the entire time is fantastic. And you can the F around and find out scale spikes immediately for the porch pirate.
Yeah.
And he slips and falls on the ice and absolutely eats it and goes in the car and drives away. But the old man's like, can you believe this? This guy's like, he was going to come up here and steal my package. Like it was nothing. Yeah. It was like another kind of an old OG in the house kind of deal comes out laughing. He's like, you know, but it's like, I was telling you off air, I had somebody do this a couple weeks ago. I got the email notification from Amazon. Your package has been delivered. And more often than not, they know not to put them on my front door because the front of my house is pretty open. And so I asked them to put them somewhere else. And for whatever reason, this one didn't. And I walk out, and there's a guy walking up to my stoop to steal my package.
Hmm.
And I go, I just kind of looked at him because he didn't have the look of, you know, I'm going door to door selling windows. And it was like, are you serious right now? I just kind of looked at him and shook my head. And he just, yeah, and just kind of gave me the hand up and walked away. Weird. I was like, are you... The balls, the audacity of people is just absolutely insane.
Like, what do you... Okay, so, porch pirate, you steal something and you get, like, somebody's medication.
Congratulations.
What do you do with that? They just throw it away and be like, ah, well...
They'll get more.
That person might die.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what...
Because a lot of old people do get their medication
through the mail. Absolutely do. What if you are... porch pirate and you get somebody's coffee pods for like a coffee maker you don't even have. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that? And that's why this is
somewhere, Costco or wherever.
This is just the stupid. Well, they go to a return center, but doesn't it get automatically refunded to your account, not to the person?
I can't remember.
But these are where it's impulsive is what it is. And they just cannot control themselves.
And whatever it is that, you know, they try to hawk it or steal or stay them in.
If you're doing that, you're a scummy person.
Yes.
You're a real scummy person.
Yeah. I have no problem with people who take the vigilante justice out on the porch pirates.
Well, in that video you were talking about, I would have wanted him to be like, hey, what were you going to do with this? Do you know what this is? What were you going to do? Because that is the interesting part.
There's another one that happened.
People have no effing clue.
No, they're just stealing volume. There was there's an Amazon driver. I saw this one again. A Ring camera. The Amazon driver is coming up and he's going to put the package down. Like he puts it down. And the guy walks up the driveway as the driver's there and he's got another. He's bringing a bigger package. The second like this, he put one smaller one and came back and got the bigger one to put it down too. And he's got it in his hands and the guy walks up the driveway and he's like, oh, I'll take that. He goes, you live here? Just kind of like, no. You live here? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to. And he I can't remember what exactly he said. He's like, what's the address or what's your name? And he's like, oh, and he goes, get the hell out of here. And the guy's like, oh.
Good delivery guy.
Yeah. But I was like, shout out to the. Because clearly he's seen some porch pirates in his day.
Yeah.
And it's like.
I see them all the time.
Yeah. It's just, but it's insane that people think that like. That's okay. And everybody's like, oh, you know, it's only stealing from, you know, it's only a couple bucks. It's like, no,
you
stop
can,
that.
You can be stunned by Rasheed Rice now.
Mm.
Well, his mom.
Yeah.
Not him. Can you imagine him just being like, he's a bit like locked up in a leg brace, having to go surgery, and this starts blowing up today? He's like, sweet.
Thanks for that.
Great. Things are really awesome right now. Mom.
Yeah.
Not going to be able to get you out of this one. I got surgery.
Yeah, might have to take that jersey off, too, the next game for, I don't know, a while.
Chiefs, man. Chiefs, really good at football, really bad off the field as a franchise.
Yeah, oh, God, yes. I'm going to pivot back to basketball here real quick before we get back into some foosball. There's some news coming out of a former MVP and what they will or won't do in handling him coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. The NBA season is officially underway, and we're beyond the point of anyone talking about how much pace they're going to play with, and there's some changes coming along as it pertains to one of the biggest stars in the NBA with Joel Embiid. His availability has been one of the biggest questions for that organization and how far they can go every single year.
We're already starting this conversation about Embiid.
Because this is probably the last, I'd say this year and next year, because of his age, his weight, and his size. Because his body, he's already breaking. He's been breaking down his whole life, basically.
Yeah,
you're reaching a point of like this is where his body really starts to betray.
But we
him.
Talk about this every year with Joel Embiid.
Yep, and I think maybe he is trying to figure this out, like finally for good. Because if he wants to win a title, I mean, you go get Paul George. You exhausted basically all of your options. Now Daryl Morey is a magician with this stuff, so maybe he can do more, but. He's lost anywhere from 25 to 30 pounds, which he was like 330.
Oh, no way. Best shape of my life.
He's a mammoth human.
He's big.
He's so, so big. He's one of
probably. How did he lose that much weight when he was playing in the Olympics? So he's lost that weight in a month?
I mean, magic. I wonder if there's any trips to Germany with Christian McCaffrey.
Well, I'm just saying. Ooh, Christian McCaffrey, by the way, his dad, Ed, said that he has... Did you hear this?
I heard part of it.
This is gnarly. he says that he has tendonitis.
It's in both Achilles, right?
Yeah. Well, he has like an infection in his Achilles too.
Oof.
Yeah, which is pretty gross.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, he's got an Achilles. He's at his bilateral too. He's a bilateral Achilles tendonitis with both of them.
That's what I had in my.
Oh really?
On my right. Hurt? It's stupid painful. So in the path that led to the diagnosis for my hip surgery, that was the thing that triggered everything. I had an 80% bilateral tear of my right Achilles. And it was because
you had a tear. He's just got tendonitis, so he says it's like tennis elbow. Players get it, and they can't play tennis for a while until it heals up.
Mine had gone from tendonitis to a tear because I have a bone spur in the back of my ankle, and the Achilles was the tendonitis had exhausted the Achilles against the. Bone spur, and basically it was like a little saw blade.
So he's got.
That sounds.
It says it's going to be like weeks.
Yeah. So
several weeks
before mine kept getting worse and worse, and we found out later on it was my hip that was basically pulling everything up. The treatment for that is a lot of scraping.
Yeah,
which is a miserable. If you've never had any like gua sha or muscle scraping done. There's certain areas that are like better than others. Like
do you say gua sha?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's like a they take like a metal like rounded tool and scrape all of the impurities out of your muscle. So like imagine like
I thought that was just scraping.
Like there's basically the same thing. There's slightly.
Oh, you're saying there's levels of this stuff.
There's variations to it, but they start like around the back of the ankle. And then, like, the whole calf, back and front, and then your shins. Because what ends up happening is that spot that connects down at your Achilles at the base of your calf goes up and wraps around your calf. And it usually is because you have other issues further up the kinetic chain. So, like, either in your knee or in your quads or in your hamstrings or in your hips. And Christian McCaffrey is a guy who has had how many lower body injuries?
A lot.
Particularly with his hamstrings, which that's in that same posterior chain as your hamstring goes into your calf, which goes into your Achilles. So unfortunately, I'm very familiar with this. And it is, when they were doing it to me, I was going in three times a week and I wasn't an NFL player trying to play every week. So I would imagine they're probably doing it to him probably four or five times a week.
No, you would have just gone to Germany like he did.
That's true.
Yeah. So sorry, Embiid. Embiid is what?
He is now saying that he doesn't care about awards. The 65 game minimum, MVP, All-Star, bonuses, all that stuff. He says that he is no longer going to disagree or fight to play when the because here's the thing. Every single player fights to play.
Mm-hmm.
The top like Dame fought to play when he had that groin thing. He had it for 4.5 years, and it would start. There every season. That's why Dame always started slow, is he would have a damn near baseball size wad of muscle and tissue fiber would just ball up in his hip and groin, and then they would deal with it, and then it would kind of open up, and he would play the rest of the season. He should not have played through that, like point blank. And that happens with basically every star player in the NBA. They have something, some form of Kawhi Leonard. Good Lord. I mean, his hamstring is basically about ready to tear off the bone.
I don't think he's trying to fight to play.
Well, I mean, he did at one point. And then him and his uncle disagreed with how the Spurs handled it, and everything has gone sideways since then. But Embiid is saying, number one, he's lost the weight. Number two, he's going to listen to the doctors. And number three, he's going to put everything aside to make sure he's ready to go in the playoffs. Which I think he attempted to do last year. But then he suffered the knee injury and... It was just about getting back to be ready for the playoffs. Remember that? Like he had a guy fall into his knee, and then it was like he was gonna be healthy.
Yeah, it just feels like can we just not have these Embiid? Like Embiid kind of makes it for himself, right? And he's saying I'm not going to, you know, fight the doctors, and I'm gonna sit out if they say I need to sit out. Can we just have a conversation about Joel Embiid once the playoffs start?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know we've seen this story every year of his career.
Because when he plays in the playoffs, he's always hurt.
Yes. And so I don't like whatever happens in the regular season. I don't care.
Just
he's
get him
one
there
of the
healthy.
Best players in the NBA.
Yes.
But he's never healthy when it matters.
And he says,
ever.
And they said, or he said, they know if they have to punch me, slap me, take my stuff away from me to not get on the court, they're going to do it. I might get mad. I might curse people out, but I think it's a relationship. We've been working together for years now, but now I look at the big picture. I've always listened to them, but it's even more of the time where I should listen and see what they have to say.
Do not trust him.
Yeah.
I don't. I love watching him play. Yeah. I think his personality is fantastic. Yeah. And there's so much I like about Joel Embiid.
He's incredibly dominant.
But it's, you can't trust him.
No.
And you will not be able to trust him until he proves it.
Yeah.
So, like, all of this stuff in the preseason, like, cool, I'm glad he's saying it, but actually do something about it, because every year it's something new. Every year with him, there is something new.
Foot,
that
ankle, knee,
yeah, like,
back,
well,
hip.
And then, I'm talking about the preseason, how he's changed this or he's mm-hmm. changed that, and now, hey, he's going to be gunning for the MVP, and now it's, okay, fine, I'm just not gonna play a lot. Well, you haven't really been playing that much anyways, to be quite honest, Joel. So, I mean, let's have this conversation in May.
So,
like with him?
I just thought it was interesting.
Holy smokes.
Organizationally, this is like front and center.
Yeah.
Because this is the single most important thing for them.
Yep.
Because if they do get him to the playoffs healthy, which is such a massive question, but if they do and they have Tyrese Maxey and they have Paul George, they are going to be a nightmare. That is a tough, tough team to deal with. All right, coming up next, it's Thursday afternoon. It's 2 o'clock, which means it's time for us to make our picks heading into week number 5 here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.